You're listening to the CryptoCast podcast.
Welcome to the Crypto and Blockchain Talk.
Hello.
Hey.
Guten Tag.
Aloha.
Kere.
Shalom.
Hallo.
Namaste.
Ni hao.
Vivet.
Hello.
Salut.
Yassas.
Salve.
Ciao.
Bonjour.
Our podcast talks about the latest trends in the worlds of cryptocurrencies and the blockchain. Hello, everyone, and welcome to this week's edition of Crypto and Blockchain Talk. This week, we want to talk about something that is on everybody's lips, security tokens, and we're going to talk about everything to know about security tokens. In the first instance, people ask, what is a security token? And that is a very good question. The cryptocurrencies we are most used to dealing with are classified as utility tokens, whether they are for using a service, making a payment, or offsetting a transaction fee on your favorite crypto exchange. However, in recent months, we have seen a rise in popularity of what is known as the security token, or a token that derives its value from an external, tradable asset. A utility token, like Bitcoin and Ethereum, operates as a primary function of the network and often represents rights to a network usage or opportunities to take advantage of the network by those who are holding these tokens. A security token, on the other hand, represents an electronically wrapped stake or share in a private interest or a company and can extend to assets such as real estate, trusts, LLCs, fine art, and so on. Often, security tokens give holders entitlement to a form of equity or ownership of a specific asset, whether fractional or whole, as well as the expectation of profit through revenues, dividends, or favorable price movements. In other words, security tokens are an investment contract similar to those of traditional financial instruments. 2018 has undoubtedly been the year of the ICO, with the ICO market on track to raise capital at record levels, some say $20 billion USD this year alone. However, with any market growing this rapidly, the number of irresponsible fundraising schemes, Ponzi schemes, scams, and fraudulent activity is equally on the rise. It is no surprise that investors are looking for more regulated and transparent investment opportunities. STOs, or security token offerings, are purportedly the solution. They provide a smarter approach to capital funding that provides greater transparency. The difference being that these tokens are registered with the SEC, or the Securities and Exchange Commission, or equivalent governing body within somebody else's country. And they are subject to federal regulations, as failure to do so would result in penalties and possibly jail time. And they are legally enforced as securities. The cryptosphere is abuzz with expectation for STOs to overtake and exceed the performance of ICOs. If 2018 was the year of the ICO, we are all expecting 2019 to be the year of the STO. Or will it be? That's the big question. Across the world, there are polarized approaches with varying degrees of difference across the spectrum to dealing with crypto in general, from country to country, and sometimes within countries, let alone with security tokens. Originally only seen as a threat, many countries have now grown wiser in understanding how crypto and blockchain can actually benefit economic and financial systems. However, these perspectives seem to be in an endless state of limbo as government bodies seek a balance between iron-fisted regulation and laissez-faire control. It is challenging to reconcile such fluid and ever-changing predicaments, and as a result, we are seeing more businesses looking to operate in the crypto space, pivoting towards crypto-friendly countries. For a list of crypto-friendly countries, you might want to refer to episode 14 in our own Crypto and Blockchain Talk podcasts, and the name of that episode is called Crypto is Going Country. So going back to security tokens, why security tokens, you may ask? Well, one of the primary reasons that security tokens are coming into focus is that institutional investors are looking for ways to join the crypto revolution, and security tokens offers a regulatory and compliant way for them to do so. Security tokens also offer a superior, decentralized way to raise capital and an efficient alternative to systems that are clogged by middlemen. If Bitcoin, with their international payments, and Ethereum, with their smart contract platforms and ICOs, were the first waves of asset growths, we will see security tokens become the third wave in the coming years. Security tokens seem that they can be the solution to a plethora of problems that have plagued the ICO landscape, such as with fraud. For instance, Satis Group's LLC damning report on ICO shocked everyone in the crypto space when it revealed that 80% of the ICOs in 2017 were scams. These scams hold in well over $1 billion that will never be found or returned. The financial governing bodies around the world that were created to prevent this from happening are crying out for people to utilize them by registering legitimate projects, making it easier to identify and stop scams before they are able to collect any money and disappear into the night. Furthermore, utility tokens don't give much back. In fact, purchasing them at an ICO only makes you a contributor and not an investor in a technical sense. Tell that to anyone who's bought into one, and you're bound to get a lot of heat. Every single investor is there to make an investment with an expected return, so STOs enable better options to be offered, such as dividends, equity, voting rights, and so much more. Moreover, security tokens opens up the possibility for investors to be fractional owners of lucrative assets that they would otherwise never be able to own. Now, how can STOs give companies peace of mind? Instead of hanging around in legal limbo, companies may choose to just opt to be a security token right from the start. This eliminates the hassle of running into regulation issues later on. Nobody wants to be up all night worried that the bank or the government is going to seize their $1 million worth of operating capital, or worse, throw them in jail. While there is much gratitude to be awarded to solo developers and roughly assembled small groups of blockchain enthusiasts who got their crypto off the ground through just hard work, this approach will unfortunately no longer work. Given impending regulation and structural changes that are coming to ICOs, it will not be possible for the single developer or a motley crew of crypto enthusiasts to really compete anymore now that investors are demanding to see that their investments are being backed by a credible and capable team. If someone has gone through all of the trouble to make an STO, it is much easier to trust that they are serious about not only raising funds, but also completing their project and supporting it afterwards. So the next question is, what constitutes that a token is a security? Well, a security token gives the owner some part of the business, company, or enterprise, otherwise known as equity, rather than just permission to use the company's services. A token with voting rights that are built in for its holders will likely be classified as a security in the coming days. The same goes for a mechanism that pays out quarterly dividends or shares in the profits. If there is an expectation set by the company that their token will grow in value and can be used as an investment, that token will be classified as a security. Right now, there are tons of coins that fall into that gray area because they serve multiple purposes. Some people can use Stellar for payments, while others will only hold it for future profits. Their new decentralized exchange, or DEX, rewards its users in profit sharing for how many tokens they stake on that platform. Tokens that have scheduled buybacks from the market, airdrops, or offer other kinds of incentives to hold their tokens may also be subject to classification as securities, as these mechanisms are intentionally in place to raise future value. Smart contracts for security tokens are greatly enhanced. by requiring KYC in order to use the platform, and of course KYC means know your customer, these smart contracts can also make sure that the proper licenses and statuses of both parties are in full legal compliance, built right into the code. For instance, a smart contract may automatically detect and terminate a transaction where the recipient is not properly licensed to hold that token, or it may disallow a holder of that token to upload it to an exchange that does not have the proper licenses to sell it. On security token platforms, we see a lot of the regulatory concerns that are addressed on a code level, putting our minds at ease against potential fraud. Even NASDAQ has alerted us that security tokens are the next big thing. By empowering traditional finance vehicles with blockchain technology and creating crypto assets, there are greater benefits to doing business this way. Since security tokens represent programmable ownership, for instance, smart contracts conditions can be programmed to allow buy-sell exclusivity in which jurisdictions, as well as dividends, voting rights, and so on. They can also allow companies to effectively tokenize tangible assets, including not just equity and debt, but also funds, real estate, fine art, precious metals, and other investment assets that traditionally posed high barriers to entry. Similarly, venture funds and private equities can leverage security tokens to tokenize and democratize their funds. The market opportunity for these tokens is massive. With tokenized ownership, parties can trade and settle within minutes, making it faster and cheaper than the current ownership model, while eliminating the middleman fees. Additionally, DLT, or distributed ledger technology, opens up opportunities for the tokenization of illiquid assets and fractional ownership. Everyday investors can now own a percentage of a home or property, or of their favorite artist or painting, and benefit from that asset's value appreciation. Suddenly, traditionally illiquid investments are unlocked and divided into portions that anyone can afford from anywhere in the world. In terms of tokenizing equity, security tokens can be used by any company and not just limited to blockchain companies, giving companies a more efficient way of raising capital from a broader investment pool and without the need to lean on investment banks and stock exchanges as intermediaries. What this means is crypto going mainstream is no longer a hope or a dream. It is happening before our eyes. Mainstream is not Bitcoin becoming the world reserve currency or having a blockchain-powered phone. It's other industries seeing the value in this technology and using it to evolve their own processes. Just like the MP3 file was revolutionary in audio compression, and .rm, or Real Player files, were the first to be mainstream market with streaming audio, both these file types are rarely used now compared to the other higher quality formats and streaming services. With crypto, first came the wave of global payment solutions. Then the influx of dApps platforms sprung up smart contract providers in every corner of the top 100 on CoinMarketCap. The new mainstream for crypto is tokenizing securities and assets. In terms of asset classes, people ask, where does crypto fall into all of this? And this is the big debate. Some are calling for a new asset class to be created, while others are arguing to just take each one on a case-by-case basis and see what it does. Some are clearly used like cash, others like equity, and some even represent commodities on the list of cryptocurrencies. Now, the Howey test was developed by the SEC to use as a quick reference guide to determine if something is classified as a security or not. The question being asked by the test is this financial transaction an investment contract? If it is an investment contract, it is classified as a security under one of the asset classes that will be described later on in this podcast. A transaction is an investment contract if A, it is an investment of money, B, there is an expectation of profits from the investment. C, the investment of money is in a common enterprise. And D, any profit comes from the efforts of a promoter or third party. One additional gray area of the Howey test has to be considered as well. If the profits being generated is mostly or entirely the responsibility of someone other than the investors, it is likely that the transaction will be considered a security. There is a quote on findlaw.com which adds to this even further. If an investment opportunity is open to many people, and if investors have little or no control or management of investment money or assets, then that investment is probably a security. If, on the other hand, an investment is made available only to a few close friends or associates, and if these investors have significant influence on how the investment is managed, then it is probably not a security. Well, this sounds an awful lot like almost every ICO you've ever seen, doesn't it? Even a utility token that offers no equity or control could be caught under this stipulation due to how it was distributed as a fundraiser. You may be asking, well, what are the rules? Well, right now, nobody but local lawyers know everything for sure. And even they are proceeding with utmost caution because they are trying to be proactively compliant as these rules are still very unclear. It is evolving very slowly, at a different pace and direction in every region of the world. If you are considering launching an ICO of your own, it is a very good idea to consult a blockchain lawyer or consider a security tokens platform. The consequence for behaving like a security without registering as one is a stiff financial penalty, possibly jail time, and the possibility of the business being shut down if the owners refuse to comply with the laws. There are three things that are needed for the full development of a security token. The first is a tokenization platform. The second is a security token exchange. And the third is a security token custodian. Various platforms have sprung up recently to handle the demand of STOs in the most robust but simple way possible. One of these creations is the token classification SRC20. SRC20 tokens are built on the Ethereum blockchain and can use different smart contracts than utility or ERC20 tokens. The following things are possible. SRC20 tokens can represent ownership of part of an object or asset, allow holders to manage that asset through voting, secure a right to any revenue streams from that asset, and are tradable in a regulatory compliant manner. Not every security token platform uses the SRC20 standard. There are R tokens, CAT20 tokens, DS tokens, and more to come. Is there any difference? Well, each one is designed to be regulatory compliant with the smart contract code itself. There may be some other robust features added, so if you are really serious about creating a security token, do some additional research into these token types to see what the best fit for your asset is at the present time. As previously mentioned, a trusted company is needed to watch over these assets and secure them, much in the same way a bank guards your checking account. This is the role of the security token custodian, and an area where there is a ton of potential growth in the next few years, and where traditional banks will likely find that excuse to finally embrace blockchain. There are a few security token custodians available at this time, including Prime Trust, BitGo, and Coinbase. Once the crypto world has been set up correctly, the next step will be to integrate it with everything else. Crypto assets are already trading on traditional stock exchanges. For instance, the Bitcoin-based index fund is now traded on the Toronto Stock Exchange. More and more of these funds will soon be available across many stock exchanges around the world. It appears that the hype around security tokens is building into the next big wave that will gently ripple onto our crypto shores. We can see that this revolutionary movement is going to be as disrupting as Bitcoin changing international payments, in that security tokens are enabling ownership and partial ownership in a digital way, which can be transferred and settled much faster. As with all things blockchain, development and traction could take time, and what we are witnessing is just the beginning of a dynamic evolution from ICOs to STOs. In 2019, we should fully expect to see more ICOs that offer more than just network utility, and instead, they will be classified as STOs, fully regulated, compliant, and representing physical assets and ownership. I would like to truly thank you for listening to this week's podcast, which is available on cryptoandblockchaintalk.com. Please feel free to leave us a great review on Twitter and Facebook, and also you can download us anytime off of iTunes, Stitcher, and Podbeam. Again, thank you for listening to this week's episode, and stay tuned as we will be releasing next week's episode next week. Thanks again for listening, and goodbye.
Thanks for listening to the CryptoCast podcast. Stay tuned in for more episodes.